Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest tonight is Jimmy Jazz, who told us of several strong low roller plays when he visited a few months ago. We'll be talking to Jimmy in a moment. We received an email addressed to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com telling me it sounds like I'm reading from a script rather than just talking on the radio. Well, that's because I'm reading from a script. For me, reading is a lesser of evils. If I don't have a script, I stammer and stutter and forget to include a lot of points. On the other hand, Munchkin doesn't read any of his script, and he does really well at this. So if I could ad-lib that well, I wouldn't read a script either, but I can't, so I will. Any comment, Richard?
Hold on. I can't find my script.
Now, you're the straight guy on this show. Did you forget that?
Okay.
I recently read an article on how important speed was. They asked me how important was speed at video poker. The author correctly noted that if you have the advantage, then speed earns more than money, earns you more EV-wise. So if you have a disadvantage, speed costs you money. So in general, this is true, but the author was figuring out the return of the game incorrectly. He was looking at 9-6 jacks or better, with a return of 99.54%. That is the right number. But he said that means the house has a 0.46% edge, so you should play slowly. That's the wrong conclusions. Or, if I can do a pun, not so fast. It's fair to include the slot club in how much a game returns. If it's a multiple point day of some type and you're earning, say, 0.6%, now you have a small advantage on a game that by itself would be under 100%. If you normally get $100 a month in free play for $20,000 of coin in, it's fair to assume the mailer is worth 0.5%. If there's a drawing that you figure is worth 0.1%, well, you add that too. If you're getting airfare from more than one casino on a trip, some of that money should be included in the return of the game as well. Possibly the value of comps should be included, depending on things we'll talk about some other time. My point here is that the return of the game in the vacuum is not the relevant return of the game. Slot clubs, mailers, promotions, etc. are all part of the mix. Once you consider the total return, including all of these things, if you have an advantage, then the faster you play, the more money you can make, assuming the very act of playing faster doesn't decrease your accuracy more than the value of the increased speed. Richard, do you have any comments?
Actually, a thought just occurred to me when you were saying that. So it sounds like often your mailer or the points you're getting is based on coin in. So if 20,000 coin in, say, gives you a $100 mailer, does the casino care whether you played that 20,000 coin in 15 minutes or over the course of 3 hours? So in the case of table games, this can make a big difference, right? In table games, it's based on your theoretical, but they would much rather see a player who, let's say, had a theoretical loss of $500, they would much rather have a player grind out that theoretical loss over 8 hours of play than they would, you know, 1 hour. So I'm wondering in video poker if that makes a difference. Can you play too fast to the point where where they don't value you as much?
At most, I'm coughing. Excuse me. At most casinos, the time you play is not a factor. At some Caesar's property, they used to keep track of your time as well, and so they'll want you to play 4 hours whenever you go in on a promotion. But for the most part, the time you play is not a factor.
Yeah, with table games players, it often is.
All right. Now, I'm going to introduce our guest first before I ask him to put his 2 cents on this. Jimmy Jazz lives near Detroit, manages to come to Vegas several times a year, basically for free, taking advantage of several cost-cutting measures that most of us aren't knowledgeable about. Jimmy Jazz, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thanks, Bob. Good to be here.
All right. Now, about playing fast at video poker, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, the people that I play with play a whole lot less denomination than the people you play with, so I have a slightly different viewpoint on that. What I see a lot of is people who think somehow if I play fast, people think I'm a good player type deal. So I see people playing quickly and not accurately. What you said is correct. If you have an advantage, obviously the faster you play, the bigger your advantage, the more money you're going to make, as long as playing fast doesn't cost you inaccuracy. Also, I think a lot of people have a mistaken notion about video poker speed, and they'll look at, you know, they'll get their stopwatch out and time themselves for a minute or two and play 1,000 hands and say, wow, I'm quick, I can do 1,000 hands an hour.
You can play 1,000 hands in a minute or two, you're a lot faster than I am.
Yes, if you do whatever it would be,
16 hands a minute.
Yeah,
so 16 hands a minute.
Right, so people think that equates to 1,000 hands an hour, and it probably doesn't. And it certainly doesn't equate to 4,000 hands in 4 hours. You know, the longer you play, as you very, very well know, you probably slow down a little bit, and you may not be quite as accurate. And it's easy to be very accurate and very quick for a minute or two, but for an hour or two or 8 hours, it's a whole different ballgame. So I would tell anybody playing, unless they have a huge layover promotion edge, play accurately at a speed you're comfortable with, and you can build up speed as you learn the game better. But speed by itself is, I think, overrated.
You know, actually, I just want to mention that new blackjack card counters often overlook how important game speed is. They tend to overly focus on things like either how strong a count they're using or the rules of the game. But so often there could be a six deck game where the dealer does not hit soft 17, which is a full table, where you're playing at a full table, and right next to it is an empty game that might have eight decks, and maybe the dealer hits off 17, but because you're playing heads up, it's probably worth more money per hour than the six deck game with the good rules playing at a full table. So
right. In blackjack, you don't control the speed, and in video poker, you absolutely control your speed. So
you do control the speed of the dealer based on how many players are at the table.
Right.
So, you know, for blackjack players, it's really important to try to play with as few other players at the table as possible.
Right, but there's some dealers who absolutely blaze out the hands and some dealers who are a lot more leisurely, and you have, like, you don't have too much control over that.
That's true.
All right, since we're on blackjack, a few months ago, Richard said something on the air that I think was a quote from Tommy Hyland that said, making $50 an hour at video poker is kind of tough, but it's no big deal at all at blackjack. Now, Jimmy, you decided you want to ask Richard some more questions about this because you'd prefer to make $50 an hour over what you're earning now. So go to it, Jimmy.
Yeah, I guess I was looking at, should I add blackjack to my game choices when I come to Las Vegas? And let me give you what I think is a pretty accurate assessment of my blackjack abilities. You know, 10 years ago when I used to play blackjack, I knew basic strategy forward and backwards. I would need some refresher now to get back to it, but that should be a minor consideration. When I counted, I used KO and could probably count down a single deck in 30 seconds, maybe 25 seconds. So if I had, say, I don't know, $2,500 bankroll, I come to Las Vegas four times a year, is it worth it to pick up blackjack as another casino game? I guess, what do you think that would be worth to me?
Well, first of all, I would say, you know, there's nothing wrong with the KO count. It's a perfectly fine count. A $2,500 bankroll, really, you know, I would say no, not to take up blackjack with a $2,500 bankroll. If you have other options, like the video poker that you're playing, and I think you also play a little bit of low-stakes poker, regular poker?
Yes.
Yeah, where the variance is going to be much lower. You know, with a $2,500 bankroll, I would say, unless it's the kind of bankroll where it's okay if you lose it completely and the next trip you have another $2,500 and the next trip you have another $2,500, you know, that would be a different story. But if the $2,500, you need to hang on to that bankroll, then I would not. I would say blackjack is not the game for you. I would stick with the video poker. I just want to correct Bob, too, in the quote on Tommy Hylands. He was talking about regular poker. A lot of blackjack players think about taking up, you know, hold'em. And in that game, you have to be quite good to earn $50 an hour. And in blackjack, I had said, you know, to earn $50 an hour is easy. I think really to earn $50 an hour, you probably need a $20,000 bankroll. And I think you could play fairly unmolested at that level. You know, if you were to, with $20,000, I think in Las Vegas, you could go up to a maximum bet of two hands of 200 and probably stay, as long as you move around a lot, I think you would stay under the radar for quite a long time. Now, you can't, you know, go into the Bellagio and sit down at a quarter game and spread a quarter to two hands of 200 for hours at a time. I mean, they are going to pick you off there. But, you know, if you keep your session short, maybe do a lot of wonging out of negative shoes, then I think you can make $50 an hour pretty easily with not a lot of heat.
Yeah, I mean, the bankroll consideration is more in deference to my wife, who is not overly risk,
tolerant.
Doesn't like risk at all. So that's the battle. I mean, for the increase in EV playing blackjack versus what I'm currently doing, I probably wouldn't set aside a $25,000 bankroll for that activity. So that's very good information.
When you mentioned the Bellagio, was that a specific casino who was specifically counter catcher happy, or was it, could it have been any of the casinos?
It could have. I mean, these things change all the time, right? Certain places, management changes, and they tend to do the opposite of what the last management did, just to show that they're different. But for example, two of the worst places in Las Vegas to count cards are the Aria and the Cosmo. And, you know, I even spreading low, you know, I think you would not last. I don't think you'd last more than a couple of hours in those places.
Is that because of surveillance?
Yeah, because of the surveillance team and the amount of paranoia about card counters, you know.
All right. In my weekly blog on Las Vegas Advisor site, my article this week was originally inspired by an email from Jimmy Jazz. Specifically, it addressed that when you have paper tickets in a drawing and the casino expressly says in the rules you are not allowed to fold or bend the tickets, now you abide by the rules, and it turns out that the winner has folded his tickets in an accordion fold.
I think you should explain to our audience why it would make a difference if you folded your ticket.
The general rule on is there's air pockets next to it, and it's the hand kind of it's an easier grasp for the hand to pick up. And what I'm not positive it works, but when I'm in drawings where I have paper tickets, I bend my tickets, I fold my tickets, and I generally, in addition, different subject, I also enter them at the end of the time period. If it's a big barrel, sometimes the ticket's on the bottom, just can't move, and nobody's arm is long enough to pick it up. So on some, you just have to put them in late. Okay, but you abide by the rules. You don't fold any of your tickets, but the guy who's picked for first place, say $10,000, has an accordion fold on the ticket against the rules. Now, the question is, what do you do now? Now, obviously, it's an open-ended question, and lots of folks will have different opinions one way or the other. Now, we're taping the show before the article actually comes out, but both Jimmy and Richard have seen it. By the time the show airs, the article will be posted on VP Free and elsewhere, and there very well may be dozens of comments which are made after the article comes out and before this show is heard. But so obviously we haven't seen those comments yet. Now, Jimmy, what's your take on this?
Well, in this particular case, at this particular casino, the rules very specifically called out you can't fold your ticket. And of all the drawings I've been in, this was the only one where I saw it specifically say you couldn't fold your ticket. Usually it says you cannot alter or mutilate or, you know, some other word, but this is the only one I saw where it actually said fold. So the gentleman who won the drawing, who I happen to know, you know, he told, you know, we were acquaintances, and he told me what he was doing, and I said, well, that's fine, but I'm in this drawing also, and if you win, I'm going to challenge it. So he ended up winning. I ended up challenging it. Both the casino and the local gaming control board ruled on his side, and that was the end of it. But to me, if a casino goes through the trouble to specifically call out an action you can't do in a drawing, and then you have an absolute clear-cut example of the person breaking that rule, and you award them the prize anyway, that kind of chews up your credibility. So to me, it was, I don't know, it was, I don't see how they made that decision and how they made that ruling, but they did.
For you to challenge it, I mean, it's a free shot, costs you nothing.
Well,
this was going to be my question. I mean, does that, like, there are these types of shots for table games players that it's not worth getting involved with the casino over it because of the negative perspective they're going to have about you in the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah. At the time, this gentleman and I were both very big players at this particular casino, and I felt that I had at least as good a standing with the casino as this gentleman did, and I thought it was worthwhile to do. It just seems if you're going to bother specifically making a rule and then you don't enforce it, what's the point? Just say you can't mutilate a ticket and leave the word fold out, and I wouldn't have said anything.
Okay, sometimes the casino, they don't want troublemakers, however it's defined, and their definition of troublemaker can be creative. And if you're bringing to their attention a problem that they didn't think they had, then you're the troublemaker. So it could be that you're the whistleblower and you get thrown out. It also could be that if you had won several of these drawings in the past, and the people in the crowd come every week and they know who wins, and they see you arguing again, then that makes you extremely unpopular because, as far as they're concerned, you win all the time anyway. And now you're arguing that somebody else shouldn't win. that makes you a lousy creep, and there's enough people going to complain to the casino about that Jimmy Jazz guy. And the casino will take an action that you don't like. So
once again, in this particular case, this gentleman had actually won probably three times as many of the drawings as I had. And it got to the point where he used to go up on stage to get his winnings, and the crowd would boo him.
Wow, so I'm surprised they ruled in his favor if that's the case, because...
So was I.
I mean, often the casino would rather that guy not win. But I mean, this is key. Is the guy a winning player or a losing player?
Oh, he's a winning player.
Oh, then it's really surprising that they ruled in his favor.
But they might not know he's a winning player.
Oh, even this particular casino's not that stupid.
You know, I have to tell a story about this kind of thing. So a guy who was a teammate of mine went to play in a casino in the Midwest.
Okay.
And the...
Could have been the same one so far.
the casino had a brochure that described their blackjack game, and in the brochure it said that the dealer stood on all 17s. But in practice, on the tables, it said that the dealer hits soft 17.
So there were signs on the table that were different than the brochure?
That were different than the brochure, right.
Okay.
So anyway, he was playing at the casino, and sure enough, eventually...
Soft 17 came up?
Yes, at a time when he had large bets out, and the dealer hit the soft 17, and he lost his $2,000 bets, right? And he then went and said, hey, you're supposed to stand on soft 17. It says so right here in your brochure.
Uh-huh.
And the boss says, oh, that's a mistake. You know, we hit soft 17. And now, again, it's a free shot. But he then went to the management and then to the gaming commission. And the end result was, of course, he did not get his money back, and he ended up with a Griffin flyer.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, sometimes you just don't want to.
Sometimes free shots are not so free.
Not so free, yeah.
All right. Let's move on to something else. Jimmy, recently you lost some $600 or so comps at Caesars Entertainment. How did that happen, and what did you do?
Yeah, as you probably well know, the rules at Caesars Entertainment is no play in 6 months and your accumulated reward credits disappear. One point in 6 months keeps them going for another 6 months. And I try to concentrate my play so that when I play at a Caesars Entertainment property, it's going to be significant, and then I don't play a little bit on a different day, or if I do want to play a little bit, I won't use a player's card. And unfortunately, I miscalculated the dates and discovered after 6 months and 2 days that I hadn't played for 6 months and 2 days, and my reward credit balance went to zero. So I first emailed a couple big players at Harrah's and asked for some advice. And
I was on that list.
Pardon me?
I was on that list.
Yes, you were. Yes,
okay.
You were. And so then after that, I went to my host in Laughlin, which is where I do most of my play. And I talked to him a little bit, and he kind of said, well, they're pretty much sticklers about that. You can try going to the, you know, total rewards email, you know, do that route. But he, as a host in Laughlin, even though I play pretty significantly for Laughlin, said there is not really much he could do. So I thought that was discouraging. I emailed Total Rewards, and they were actually very nice about it. And they said, okay, try calling your host in Cleveland, because for some reason Cleveland is my dominant property, even though I play very, very, very little there. But that's another little Caesars quirk. So the host there took a look and did some checking and couple days later, about two-thirds of the points reappeared. And he sent me an email and said, okay, this is what we could put back on, and I'm going to contact the other hosts at properties you play at and see what else we can do. And I thought, okay, that's pretty cool. That's to me, above and beyond. He's doing my legwork for me, which was nice.
So you're getting $450 worth out of the $600, which is
right.
Which you'll live with if that's all you get.
Exactly. That was my thinking. If this is what happens, it's like, yes, this is all my fault, my mistake. I don't agree with the rule, but the rule is very clearly stated, and that would have been the end of it. So I check a couple of days later, and there's $760 in reward credits.
That you immediately reported so they could take off $160 worth. Is that correct?
Well, I didn't know who to call.
Okay.
No. Well, the thing is, I'll take a look at my September statement, or actually my August statement, which comes out September 7th. They come out the 7th of the month. So I'm not even sure exactly what they did. I don't know if they went back more than 6 months or what. I really don't know what they did, but the number now is bigger than when it started. Is it worth the trouble? No. I would not, absolutely not recommend this as a angle play. Like I said, the rule to me is silly, but for some reason, playing 1 point in 6 months is light years better than playing no points in 6 months. So that's their rule.
Well, but the other lesson is, you know, it really pays to make a few phone calls and ask,
you know,
to get them back.
And one other thing that came out of this is one of the hosts, and I forget from which property, sent back a reply and basically said, well, you know, you were in this casino on this date and this casino on this date, and you took a comp, but you didn't play. And to me, that seemed to be like, you know, how dare you actually use the comps you've earned by playing at my casino type attitude, which I found a little unsettling, but... You know, it's their rules and their casino. But to me, if you've earned a comp, you should be able to use it without getting penalized for using it.
Well, it's
so I will circle my calendar a little more carefully in the future and ensure that I accumulate a point every 6 months. One interesting, or actually, one more piece of information about Harrah's is probably maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, they started awarding reward credits for live poker play, which they didn't used to do in the past. And it's not a huge amount. You might earn $1 an hour in comps playing poker, and I don't think it's level dependent. So playing 2-4 limit at the Flamingo is the same as playing, you know, 5-10 no limit at another Harrah's property. So the lesson, though, is that if you've have a significant slot play day and then 2 days later you want to play live poker, you probably shouldn't give them your card.
That was my question. Does that poker play count toward your average daily theoretical?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. And actually, Harrah's went one worse than that, because they used to make, if you entered a Harrah's tournament, you had to give them a reward, total rewards card. They wouldn't let you enter the tournament if you didn't have a card, or wouldn't give them a card. So your choice was kill your rating to play poker at Harrah's, or don't enter their tournaments.
So the World Series of Poker, you have to have a Harrah's card to play in the World Series of Poker. Is that what you're saying?
I have not played in the World Series of Poker, but I think that
is true, actually, because... I actually was going to go enter just some, like, sit-and-goes or whatever at the World Series, and they hit me with that, and I didn't have a card. I didn't have a card that matched the ID that I was carrying at the time, and I did not want to go get one. And they couldn't give it to you right there at the sign-up place. You had to go out to a booth somewhere and get a card. So I ended up just playing a cash game instead. So, yeah. Another bad rule by Harrah's. What a surprise.
And I would occasionally play when I played and my wife was playing in the casino, I would play on her card at the poker table. And some of the Harris properties will not let you do that anymore because they're concerned about somebody accumulating a bunch of time on the poker game because they have free rolls that are based on the number of hours you play, and they're worried somebody's going to get two free rolls, one for themselves, one for their wife. So I don't do that anymore either.
The total reward system is a son of a gun to figure out. Are there good sources of information that we should give a shout out to on information about the total reward system?
Yeah, actually, there's a couple of them. There's a Yahoo group called Harrah's Casinos, and I don't think you can search for it on Yahoo groups. I think it's hidden, but we can put something on your website that shows you how to get in there. I think there's about 12,000 people on that group, and it was started about 8 years ago. And the whole idea of that group is people sharing their experiences, trying to figure out how the heck Caesars Entertainment Total Rewards Club actually works. And like most Yahoo groups, there's some good information and a lot of fluff, but it's the information you do get is worth sifting through all the other posts to get at.
And so that is organized by Miss Kraps, who posts
yes.
regularly on the VP Free, which is a Yahoo video poker discussion group.
Yes, and she has put in the time and effort to organize that particular Yahoo group, and hats off to her for doing that. So if you play at Harrah's at all, it is definitely well worth taking a look at.
Now, her play is from the slot department, whether it's video poker or slots. Now, Harrah's, are most of that group slot department, or you can also get it from table game side and stuff like that? Do you have any recollection of that, any knowledge of that?
There's a little bit of table information, but not much. I would say it's 98% slot information. A lot of it, like for the higher end folks, they talk about how to work the cruises, the Harrah's cruises, and how to work the 7-star events and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of good information on the high end play as well. But on the table side, I would say not a whole lot.
Okay, good. Now, so that was one of the sites. What others would be a good site for information about total rewards?
There's another one. The website is 7starsinsider.com. And there's a gentleman named Daryl McEwen who runs that, and he actually publishes a newsletter, which is the 7-Stars Insider. It started out being only sent to 7-Stars people, and then Daryl said, there's probably enough information in here to send it out to the general population, and there is a lot of information about Harrah's, a lot of little tricks on how to navigate the Harrah's system, geared more towards the 7-stars than the platinum members, but still a worthwhile read if you play at Harrah's at all. Those are the two best places I've seen for information on Harrah's.
All right, very good. And do you know the charge on the 7-star insider by any chance?
It's free.
It's free.
We like free.
Well, yeah. If it depends. I like good information, and free information that you have to sift through a lot of stuff can be very expensive. All right. Now, last time you were on the show, Jimmy, you talked a little bit about MyVegas.com. Do you have anything else on that that you, Richard Aschie said, well, it was really a lot better in the beginning, and you agreed. Now, are you still on there?
I'm still on there. My wife is actually the big Vegas, My Vegas person, so she still does her daily spins, and, she still accumulates all the stuff for that. We're going back to Las Vegas in the end of October, and we've got a couple things we're going to use up out of My Vegas. I can't remember. There's one show we're going to see, and also I think there's a couple buffets we're going to hit up. So,
yeah,
again, go ahead. Go ahead, Richard.
I was going to say that for people who are interested in it, a couple of tips. One of them, if you're going to do it, I would create a completely separate Facebook account because you're going to get inundated with just garbage from this. But to play it effectively, you want to be inundated with the garbage. So I would create a completely separate Facebook account, and I would use a name that had, you know, like Bob My Vegas, something like that. And the other key is you want to get over 500 friends at least. And the way it's very easy to accumulate those friends by just asking to friend people who have the words My Vegas in their name, or have a lot of people have icons that come out of the My Vegas thing as their picture. Because once you accumulate enough friends, you start getting, well, first of all, every spin that you get five times the spun amount because you have so many friends. So once you start accumulating lots of friends, you really never have to worry about having enough red chips anymore. And there are a couple of good Facebook groups that you can join that have some really useful information about, you know, about how to maximize your wins.
Yeah, I think you hit the key, which is get a lot of My Vegas friends because they send you coins and you send them coins and there's all
right.
kinds of little bonuses that happen.
You become neighbors and there's all this
right.
stuff. And the other thing I would say is, you know, they have these promotions all the time. And some of the promotions, I don't know, you go and you find gemstones or whatever. If the promotion does not involve a payoff of gold coins at the end of it, then don't bother to play it. You want to save your red chips to play the promotions that are going to give you, you know, you play through these like scratch-off cards, and at the end you get 750 gold coins. Those are the ones you want.
But that's worth $7.50 maybe.
I haven't thought about what the – I mean, but you're accumulating the gold coins getting there too. But, yeah, it's all about the gold coins. The red coins mean nothing, so.
Yeah. I think that's 75 cents, Bob. I think it's a tenth of a penny a point.
Really?
But,
okay.
Yeah, on the good side, they started doing Royal Caribbean cruises, and there's also, if you're into that, you can get bottle service at Aria through My Vegas. So
how many points do you need for a Royal Caribbean cruise?
I'll have to get the amount. We're getting close. I want to say like 250,000 points maybe, but I'd have to check the exact number. But it's attainable. Also, Stations seems to have jumped on board. And Southwest was talking about jumping on board. So I don't know if Southwest gets on board. I mean, if you can convert it to Southwest gift cards to use for flights, I mean, that's a pretty nice way to do it.
All right. Last time you were on, you mentioned that autoslash.com was a very good way. That's what you use when you rent cars in Vegas and elsewhere. Anything new to report on that?
Well, not really new, but I'll give you another example. I'm actually heading to North Carolina for a golf trip tomorrow, and I'm flying into Charlotte. And for some reason, Charlotte is a very expensive rental car city. So a couple months ago, when I got my first foray and booked a vehicle, it was like $220 for the 5 days I'm going to be there. So I do a little looking on my own. I went to a couple sites I use. CarRentals.com is one of them, and you know, you look at the Expedia and Travelocity, and you can check out a few different places. And I got my rate down with some shopping to about $120. So that's getting in the reasonable range. And probably, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago, I get an email from AutoSlash, and it says, we've got a $97 fare for you, rate for you for a compact vehicle through a major company. I forget which one. So I go online and look at it, and I click around a little bit, and they also have a rate from Avis for a compact car, which was bigger than the economy car I had originally booked, and it was $77. So with a little bit of legwork on my part, just to make sure that, you know, AutoSlash could actually do what they said, it was kind of a, you know, button or a belt and suspenders approach. But AutoSlash took my rate down significantly, even from the best rate I managed to get through a lot of legwork. So I would highly recommend the site. So if you have a trip coming up in, whatever, November, you go online, you book a rate someplace, or you can book through them directly, either way. And every time the rate goes down, they find a better rate, they email you and say, hey, here's a way to save some money. Click on this, and we'll lower your rate. So I'm not sure how they're going to make money on this deal. Part of this golf outing I go on is also a charity fundraiser, so I asked AutoSlash for a donation, and they said they're not set up for, you know, they don't have gift cards yet or anything like that, and they also mentioned that they're not profitable yet, which isn't unusual for a startup, but they still sent me a check for some money for the charity, which I thought was very nice of them. I hope they find a way to make some money and stick around for a long, long time, because this is probably the best cost savings I've found on rental cars as long as I've been doing this. And I would highly recommend the site to you and all your listeners.
I used it on a trip to Reno, and I'm happy with the deal I got there. So that was good.
Good.
Now, you pick websites where... you get good deals like Groupon or Gold Star or Score Big, mm-hmm. some of those. What? Tell us about, pick one or two of those and tell us about it. What kind of stuff can you get on those?
Well, let's talk about if people like to go to sporting events.
Okay.
And don't have it comped out from the casino and are actually going to pay money for it. The way Score Big works.
What a concept.
Yeah, it happens. The way Score Big works is you go to the event and you pick, you know, the range of seats you want. You know, it's kind of like a tier, 1 through 5 star. You don't get the exact seat number. And then it's kind of like Priceline after that, where they say these tickets are going for about this price. What will you bid for the ticket? And they'll tell you yes or no. So their business model is you should never pay list price for a ticket. That should be the absolute high end you ever go, and their site will give you discounts off of that.
Even on sold out events where tickets are going for big markup?
Because
like Super Bowl tickets might have a face value of 700 and they exchange hands for 3,000.
Right. I would say it wouldn't work for Super Bowl or, you know, probably the huge events, but if
there have,
well,
to be available
tickets. I don't
know if Nevada
has any, right, any pro sports teams, but like we did a trip. We went to go see the Chicago Cubs and Tigers play at Wrigley Field. And the face value on the ticket was $62 a pop. And we ended up paying $19 a piece for them.
Uh-huh.
And it was the crowd. It was a, you know, I don't know if it's a total sellout, but it was a very full house. And we got 3 tickets for less than face value of 1 ticket.
Huh. What's the name of that site?
ScoreBig.com? Yeah.
All right. What is Gold Star worth? How does
Gold
that work?
Gold Star is a, I think it's based out of Las Vegas, and they'll do show tickets at discounts. Now, you know, Bob, obviously in your case, I don't think getting show tickets is that big a deal. And your host probably picks those up all the time.
Well, maybe. The show tickets, MGM, is not on my list of casinos that welcome my action. So mm-hmm. if I'm going to any MGM show, I have to pay real cash money.
This might work for you then. So uh-huh. they have a mailer, and you basically go on, and I don't know how good the selection is. I don't really, I mean, I look at it occasionally, but they'll have most of the name shows, and the price is less than the face value. And they also do some free shows, like some of the lesser shows that might have a face value of $35 to $50. They'll have them for the cost of a $6 or $7 service charge. And that's goldstar.com.
All right.
Wow. I love going to shows, so.
All right. And if you're real close to moving to Vegas, and
yep.
All right, good. So let's do a couple of commercials, and then we'll we got a few more websites to ask Jimmy about. The South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. That's more than anybody else has. In September, every night at 8:15, there's a drawing for 16 names. One of those gets $10,000, and the other 15 get $500. The first name that is there within 4 minutes collects the $10,000. If that person is not there, it goes on the list of the 15 $500 winners, and they pick another one. So eventually they get somebody who was there. The $500 winners have 24 hours to collect, or the money evaporates. At slots, $1 coin in earns you 3 tickets. At video poker, $1 coin in earns 1 ticket. There's a maximum of 10,000 entries per day. At 9 p.m., they empty the barrel, and you can start earning tickets towards tomorrow night's drawing. Now, South Point has had similar drawings in the past. In the past, though, it counted for the whole month, and so those who could play every day got them a bigot. It was an advantage to those people. Here, you can play on whatever day it is that you want. And if you're only going to be in town 3 days, well, you can play that day, those three, if you want. Also, it is more of a mid-roller play. Before, it was like $1,000 coin in would get you the maximum number of tickets. Now, it's $10,000. Now, $10,000 isn't a huge amount. If you're a quarter single-line player, it can take you 10 or more hours, which is all day. If you are a nickel player, single line, you have no chance. For larger players, it can still take a considerable amount of time. So there will be a high percentage of the people who have nowhere near the maximum of 10,000 tickets. So if you're somebody who is able to put that many tickets on your card, then you have a decent shot. They do have NSU, which is 99.7 plus with a 0.3 club. And so it's 100% game 24/7. And this does provide some extra equity. This coming Wednesday, September 17th, this is going to be week two in a 10-week semester of free video poker classes taught by me. The classes are going to be taught in the Grandview Lounge, which is in the southeast corner of the casino floor. The game for the this week would be double bonus at noon and double-double bonus at 2 p.m. Both of these classes are going to be taught at the beginner level. These are good classes to have back-to-back because the two games differ in how much you get for the flush, how much you get for the full house, how much you get for the straight, and so the strategy varies between the two games, and the way it varies is directly proportional to what the pay schedule is. And so it takes a while for video poker players to learn how the strategy varies by pay schedule. Taking these classes back-to-back would be a good way to do it. Okay, classes are free, and everybody at least 21 years old is welcome. At the Palms, they have drawings every Friday night. 10 winners share $10,000 each Friday. You earn 5 times entries Friday and Saturday, 8 to midnight, 2 times entries all day Sunday and Tuesday. You do not have to be present at the drawing to win, but you need to claim your prize before midnight or you forfeit. Any player who enters the Friday drawing prior to 6:45 p.m. Receive $10 in free play on Saturday. PFP, Play for Prizes, Monday through Friday. From now until tomorrow, Friday, September 12th, the prizes are free slot play up to a maximum of $200 per day. The free slot play is earned at a rate of 0.25% for video poker and 2% for slots. Another way of saying this is it takes 40,000 video poker points or 5,000 slot points to earn $100 in free play. You keep your points. Points accumulate throughout each of these two-week periods. For example, if you earned 160,000 points tomorrow, then that would be too many to spend because you only get 80,000. But if you earned 260,000 on Monday, you could spend 80 on Monday and get the $200 in free play and come in on Tuesday or Wednesday and get it as well. So your points go for the full 2 weeks, Monday through Friday. Beginning this coming Monday, the prize will be Chevron gas cards, probably at the same rate, probably the same daily limit. VideoPoker.com remains the best place to practice a very wide variety of games, including Quick Claws, Ultimate X, Extra Draw Frenzy Poker, Hyper Bonus, many others. Often these are the best returning games in the casino. Starting in September, they're beginning a monthly 7 stars contest. You earn stars throughout the month by how many hands you play on the site, how many days per month you play, and you can earn up to 4 stars each month through lifetime achievements. Those players earning at least 7 stars in a given month will compete in a month-end tournament. Good luck. All right. Jimmy, we got about 2 minutes. Another one of your websites that you say would be good value is TickPick. Never heard of TickPick. Sounds like it's easy to mispronounce. What is that?
That is another auction site geared towards sporting events. And on that one, I'm trying to remember. I think the way it works is you give them a price, and they give you the best ticket they can give you for that price. So similar to Score Big, but a slightly different way of doing it. Score Big, you bid on a type of ticket, and on TickPick, you bid on, I have this much money, what can you give me for it? So just another way of saving a few bucks on sporting events without having to go through, you know, scalping tickets outside the arena.
All right. Thank you very much, Jimmy.
Sure.
This was very informative. Richard, why don't you tell us how people can listen to our show?
I will. I just want to say, actually, there are a couple of those websites that definitely sounded good to me, and I will be checking them out. So, yes, so we really want to hear from you, our listeners. Send us email at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com or at facebook.com/gamblingwithanedge. Sign up to get the show delivered to you while you sleep, and sign up at iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or at richardbunchkin.com, or you can get archives of all the episodes at bobdancer.com. All right, and Bob?
All right, thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good night.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.